Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the second hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Tiki Barber here. It's Thursday afternoon, a little bit dreary, rainy up here on the Northeast. Hope everything is well and safe, and you guys are managing despite all of the situations that we find ourselves in. My very good running buddy, Adam Reitz, just sent me a text message that says the Boston Marathon canceled for the first time in its 124-year history. We know how a lot of these spring events, Boston Marathon is usually in April, dealt with the coronavirus pandemic. They pushed them back. We saw it with the Masters. We saw it with some other, you know, major sporting events getting pushed back. The Masters will be down now middle of November or so. Originally, the Boston Marathon was scheduled to be in September. But because of logistical issues, the Boston Marathon will not run in Boston. But they will allow you, if you prove that you run a 26.2 miles on the perceived date or whatever the date, the assigned date, you will be able to participate in a virtual Boston Marathon. And you're starting to see a lot of these virtual races pop up. I know I'm part of one in about a week or so, a little less than a week, actually. The New York City Roadrunners will be celebrating Global Running Day on June 3rd. And so we're going to have an event. It's only a mile, so go out and run. You can sign up on many different ways. Just go to the New York Roadrunners website, nyrr.org. I'll be a part of it. Some others will be a part of it. Teddy Bruschi is going to be a part of it as well. So there's like a New England, New York, a little bit of a rivalry. And I was doing an interview about it last week. And I said, I wasn't part of that rivalry. Like, there's a rivalry that exists with the Giants and the New England Patriots because the Giants have beaten the Patriots in the two Super Bowls that they faced each other in this decade. And actually, 2 decades that they've played. But I wasn't part of it. So I don't have any real beef with Teddy Bruschi. But the Giants-Patriots beef is something to drum up some interest and really get people out and interested in running. I was just watching in our break, some of the things that they put together for us on the TV side. One was a view of my basement and some of the trophies that I've accumulated over the years. But also, I did one where I was running. So I encourage everyone to get out and run. It'll make you feel better, especially as the weather starts to get nice, especially here in the Northeast. Just do it from a socially distant space and stay safe when you're out there running. Don't run behind people because you could pick up something that they, you know, spit out of their mouth or something like that. Anyways, going to talk about cancellation. Now, I don't think that Major League Baseball is anywhere close to being canceled. There's just too much money at stake. And what it's starting to feel like is that the Major League Baseball players want to play, but as we've said many times over the last week and a half, they don't want to share in the losses because it's not part of their collective bargaining agreement. And if you're going to stomp on the collective bargaining agreement, then why have a bargaining agreement at all? And so they're steadfast in this, including Max Scherzer, who has a very strong position, a very high position in the Major League Baseball Players Association. He's on the executive subcommittee, and he's been saying some interesting things. And I won't read it directly, but paraphrasing, he basically said, at this point, we don't believe what the owners are saying, that they are this negatively affected financially by fans not being in the stadium, and therefore they are going to stand by the March 27th agreement, which allowed for a prorated portion of players' salaries based on the number of games that they were playing. Now, this primarily affects the proposal that the MLB owners presented primarily affects the higher paid athletes, and Max Scherzer would be one, Garrett Cole would be another, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. We know all the names of these guys that are making a significant amount of money. Those are the ones that are going to be most negatively affected by the proposal that was presented to them. But it's interesting because now the Major League Baseball players are not even bothering to respond. And I think it's a smart way to do it, because if you are going to get into a CBA-like conversation with the owners when it's not a CBA conversation, then you open yourself up to making a precedent that ultimately would be used against you. And so instead of responding to the Major League Baseball owners' proposal, what some of these players are doing, or what the players are actually doing, is sending their own proposal. So we heard that, you know, the baseball season was going to be 82 or so games, and depending how long this takes to get sorted out, that could be a little bit more, could be a little bit less. But the players, because what their primary concern, and it's starting to look this way, that their primary concern is about the money that they're going to be able to make. And so instead of accepting the owner's proposal for 82 games, they're sending their own proposal that says we can play 100, or we want to play 100, because that allows us to have more revenue. But the other thing that they sent, which I think is really compelling, because we've alluded to this and we've talked around this a little bit, but we haven't really got to the crux of it. What they're requesting from the owners, who are crying poverty in a sense, basically saying, because we're not going to have fans in the stadium, we're not going to be able to, we're going to lose 40% of our revenue, and we're not going to be able to sustain ourselves. It's unsustainable to play games financially without fans attending these games because of the gate and because of merchandise, because of concessions and parking and everything else that goes along with it. If fans aren't there, we are not going to be able to play these games without you accepting a 50-50 revenue split. The players want no part of that. So, and the other thing, other than, you know, suggesting 100 games, they're saying, let's see the financial documents. And this is opening a little bit of a can of worms, because owners don't share these things with the players, and it's certainly not with the Players Association, and especially not because there's going to be a CBA negotiation next year. So in some ways, the players are using this ire, this conflict that has started to happen between them and the owners, to dig up some intel about how much money the owners are actually making. The owners don't share in the upside profits. We don't know what it is. Nobody reports it. It's not like in the National Football League, which is also, most of the revenues are private. But because of the Green Bay Packers, who were partially public, we get some numbers on how much money the National Football League is making and how much each team is making. You just multiply it by 32, what the Green Bay Packers make, and you get the number, which comes in around 15 or so billion. We don't know what that number is for baseball. We talk about it. We talk around it in a sense, but we don't actually know what it is. So in some ways, because of this fight, the players are going to learn either the owners are driving these businesses really close to the number, or they are raking in millions and millions and millions, maybe billions of dollars that we're missing out on. I think the play is interesting. Like the counter, the play and then the counterplay that is happening has become really interesting. What's also really interesting is that there are third parties that are very interested in what's happening here. And one of them is Super Agent Scott Boras. Now, we know we had Scott Boras on a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about this specific situation with the players and the owners. And he gave such like detailed information, and it was actually informative. I gained some knowledge by listening to him. And obviously, as a lawyer who's negotiated some of the biggest contracts in sports history. I mean, forget Major League Baseball history, but some of the biggest contracts in sports history, it was revealing to hear him say, like, the valuations aren't being accounted for. Owner buys a team for $100 million. It's now worth $1.5 billion. He's had a significant appreciation over the course of however long he's owned it. And so those type of things players are starting to think about. But Scott Boras also is a little bit in the pocket of Scott Boras. Scott Boras is looking out for number one a lot of these times. It's compelling, but it's also a little bit disconcerting for some members of Major League Baseball, including our good buddy Trevor Bauer, who we had on a week ago or so. And Trevor has always been outspoken. He's always been the kind of guy who's not going to let the circumstances of a situation, change what he thinks. And I'm trying to find his exact quote, but essentially he said, here it is. He said, when referring to Scott Boras, quote, this is on his Twitter page, @BauerOutage, saying, hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent, Scott Boras, meddling in Major League Baseball Players Association affairs. If true, and at this point, they're only rumors, I have to say one thing. Scott Boras, rep your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. Keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. It's really interesting when you think about, why certain agents take the stances that they take. Because, look, we know that Scott Boras is great at what he does. Look at his client list. And I'm forgetting the one who just now joined him. He just acquired Blake Snell. He just acquired another one of the really good pitchers in baseball. Like, he's good at what he does, and people recognize that. However, our own David Sampson, who was doing an interview on CBS HQ, had a different take on Scott Boras' importance.
He's getting his stable of players who tend to be the highest paid players with the longest term contracts. He's getting them to try to get other players on their teams and around the league to agree with what Scott wants. And the reason Scott doesn't want any sort of pay cut is because that impacts his commission. And he doesn't want to take a pay cut because he believes that he is due every dollar that he negotiated. From the ownership standpoint, when Scott Boras speaks, the owners and Major League Baseball ignores. He has no impact at all in any decisions that we used to make as an ownership group, as a collective bargaining group. When we're trying to get any sort of agreement with the players, we just let Scott be Scott and point out that he never gets what he wants when it comes to these type of issues with bargaining.
But he does get what he wants when he holds you over a barrel and gets 30-something million for his clients, even though we don't know the economics of what the teams make. Playing a guy at 30-something million is a lot. It's free market, and Scott Boras has mastered the free market. I just think it's funny listening to David. And obviously, David was an executive, David Sampson, and that was courtesy of CBS HQ, was an executive, Marlins, right? Yeah, Miami Marlins, I believe. Yeah, with the Marlins for a long time. And so he's speaking from knowledge. Scott Boras is used to doing things like this. He's used to standing up for his players and trying to some way circumvent the system. But at the same time, he's looking out for number one. I give Scott Boras some credit for that. He's also looking out for his players. And Max Scherzer or whoever doesn't want to make $6 million as opposed to $19 million in this prorated season. But he's always looking out for number one. In some ways, I get it. I get why Scott Boras is doing what he's doing, but this is just further proof that this should not be in the public. Because what we're talking about now are the Scott Boras type clients and the Max Scherzers and the Trevor Bowers being pitted directly against the lower paid players. And some of them are stars. They just haven't been paid yet. They're still in arbitration or not even in arbitration yet. And so they need to make whatever it is, $250,000 this year. They haven't banked because they've been in the league for a decade. They haven't banked 15 or 20 million so they can afford to just take a loss on the season this year. So what's happening now is this is becoming so public that everybody has to take a stance. And when you start taking a stance, you start, you know, creating these sects, these sides. You got one side thinking one thing, you got the other side thinking the other thing. Players have to jump one way or another. It is I'm not quite sure that baseball is going to not be played this year. But I do think that there is irreparable damage being done between player and player. And certainly it might be that way between player and ownership. I mean, that might go without saying, especially as if we get into a very contentious CBA next year in 2021. But the worst, I think the worst effect is that player and player relationships are going to start deteriorating because this thing just won't stay quiet. Nobody can keep it quiet. Everybody has to comment on it. And it's the worst thing that could possibly happen for this sport. A good thing happened for the National Hockey League. They've outlined their 24-game format, and Pierre Maguire is going to join us next to discuss it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. GEICO has introduced the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more information and eligibility. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Going to jump into some hockey. Obviously, I don't know a lot about hockey, but when I want to learn some about hockey, we have this guy on. He's always been fantastic to us. Comes on whenever we request. Pierre Maguire, NHL on NBC, In the Glass reporter, obviously an analyst of the game for a really, really long time. And Pierre joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Pierre, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend? Hope you're staying safe.
Excellent, Tiki. Really good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. What have you been doing in your stay at homeness? I mean, there's no hockey going on. How are you keeping busy?
I've been a husband. I've been a father. I've got a daughter that's a rower up at Dartmouth, so she's been on a break. So I'm training her at home, and I have a son who's eligible for the NHL draft this summer. So I've been training him as well. So I've been a dad more than anything else. It takes me back to when I was coaching in the National Hockey League. Many moons ago, but you know, the biggest thing is just being able to be with my family. Has been huge for me, very, very large.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are that way. I didn't realize that your son was like good like that. Is he got a shot?
Yeah, I think he does, Tiki. I mean, he was rated. The NHL has a thing called Central Scouting, and probably a little bit like the National Football League, and it's an independent group. And at the midterm ranking, he was 139 for a prep school player from the United States. That's pretty good. And then in the final ranking, moved up to 105. Which was a pretty significant jump, especially, you know, again, for a prep school kid from Massachusetts. So, he's got a shot. He's getting bigger all the time, and he's trained his butt off, and he's excited. He's going to go play junior hockey in British Columbia in Canada next fall. But
nice.
As long as we got things going. But, yeah, no, we're excited for him. He's put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, good luck to him and to your daughter as well up at Dartmouth. I mean, great schools, great futures your kids have, it seems like. All right, let's get to the future of the NHL, Pierre. So it looks like, at least according to this this proposal, that there's going to be a 24-team conference-based playoff format for the NHL to get back up and running. First of all, is this the right way to come back, going right into the postseason, or did they need some ending closure to the regular season?
I don't think we can really have closure to the regular season, Tiki. It wouldn't work. Guys have been off for too long. You know, as a former professional athlete, how hard it is to get yourself into game shape, let alone, competitive shape, mentally and physically. So I think the most prudent thing for the league to do was to, you know, call an end to the regular season. And the one thing I can tell you about Commissioner Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, they're fantastic problem solvers. I've known them since they've been in the league. And, you know, I've been in the league over 30 years now, so I can just tell you I've seen a lot of people come and go. But the one thing that the NHL is very good at is solving problems, and this is obviously a huge problem athletically for us. And I think this is probably the best solution to have two pods where 12 teams would go into one pod, 12 would go into another. The top four seeds on each side would play a three-game round robin, so that would get them up to competitive speed. And then the lower-seeded teams, so you've got five would play 12, mm-hmm. Six would play 11, seven would play 10, and eight would play nine. They would play a three out of five, and they would play those higher-seeded teams later on once they moved in. Or pass their first-round opponent. So I really do think it's probably the best way to do it. The one thing, though, Tiki, I'd ask you from a football perspective, but I can tell you from a hockey perspective, it's going to take 3.5 weeks minimum to get these guys up to speed if they're going to have a training camp.
I'm going to get back to that in a second. Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC, In the Glass reporter. And you bring that up, and it's so pertinent and important point. Because I'm thinking about this. This happened in the National Football League, and you spent the entire offseason getting yourself physically ready. You got beat up for, let's say, 6 weeks, and all of a sudden you take a three-month break or a two-and-a-half-month break. There's no way you physically are going to get back to the point that you were before you left. Maybe you might feel a little bit healthy, but there's so much attrition that's going to happen. Hockey is also a physical sport like this. What effect is this going to have on, you know, some of these, especially some of the older players that are, you know, it's a disjointed break, you know what I mean? Like if it's a regular break, you know how to handle it. If it's a disjointed one, you don't really know what you're doing. How's this going to affect them?
Well, first of all, I think that's really well said, especially coming from you and all the battles you had to go through to make yourself an everyday NFL player. The one thing, though, I would tell you is that it's going to have an effect on older players, because one of the key things, you can train as hard as you want. You can ride a bike. You can run. You can do squats. You can do bench press. You can do all the things you want to do. There's nothing that can mimic what skating is. It's just a different kind of conditioning.
Yep.
And none of these guys have been able to get on the ice, unless they went back to Sweden, where the Swedes never shut down. And a lot of there's 15% of our league that's over in Europe right now. They're skating over there, which is good. That gives them a bit of an advantage. But for older players, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
For younger players, as long as they stayed in shape, it won't be as difficult. But you talked about the physical pounding and the attrition. Absolutely agree 100%. And that's why I say it's going to take at least 3.5 weeks to get these guys up to speed where they can go into a playoff intense environment, which is something that I think the league's expecting.
Is there a worry? You mentioned, let me follow on this. Is there a worry that some of these guys that are overseas now, one, are going to have trouble coming back, but then two, expose themselves unnecessarily? You know what I mean?
Totally know what you mean. Absolutely. And again, that's what I love about Commissioner Bettman's message to the fans in particular, because without fans, we have nothing as a league. And our fans are critically important to the well-being of our league, because we are a gate-driven league, unlike a lot of the other major sports leagues that get a lot more TV money than we get. We're a gate-driven league, and so the fans are important. But again, Commissioner Bettman said it perfectly well the other day. Our number one priority is for the well-being of our players, in terms of health and welfare, and he's spot on. And I talk to guys in Canada all the time. I talk to guys over in Europe. I talk to players that are living in Boston, coaches from around the National Hockey League. Yeah, they're concerned too.
They are concerned.
And how could you not be?
You have to be. I mean, this is a crazy moment. We have no idea what really to expect. And now you're starting to read reports that the death toll is underreported because suspicious deaths aren't counted. Pierre McGuire is talking to us right now, NHL on NBC, In the Glass reporter. You know, you mentioned Governor Gary Bettman. And I got to tell you, are people beating down his door, meaning other commissioners? Because he's handling this the right way. You see the NBA throwing out, proposal after proposal after proposal after proposal. You see Major League Baseball, they're fighting. Nobody trusts Rob Manfred right now. But here you have Gary Bettman, who quietly seemingly comes to a resolution and throws it on us, and it's it's going to happen. He's handling this as good as any commissioner right now, other than Roger Goodell, who actually obviously doesn't have to really deal with it yet.
Right. The one thing that I would say that's been really important through this whole process for the National Hockey League has been the level of discussion led by Commissioner Bettman and Donald Fehr, the head of the NHL Players Association. They've been in constant contact right from the start of this, and the level of communication has probably been the most positive that I've witnessed in over my 30 years between the National Hockey League and the Players Association, which usually has a very acrimonious relationship, but it's a lot better now. And I think part of it is the players need the league needs the players. So we're all in this together. I really believe that. And for the first time in a long time, you know how everybody says, oh, the players want to be partners with the owners and the owners want to be partners with the players. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Not always.
Yeah.
But now they both know they can't get along without one another. And I think that's led to some unbelievable conversation, great spirit of cooperation. And because of that, Kerry Bettman could put together this plan that he unveiled the other day. And I thought it was a really appropriate plan. I really did.
Yeah. Now, do you think, because there's been some speculation in the NBA because of the layoff, that teams that should have had the advantage are going to lose the advantage, like the Lakers or the Clippers. What about the Bruins or the Lightning, who have, you know, they're far and ahead, you know, the best teams in hockey right now? Is there an advantage that's going to be lost because of the delay, but then also because of the format, which is different than what they're obviously used to?
Yeah, what a good question. I think the format's going to be a bit different, especially for those top four seeds, which the Bruins are one of them, Tampa's one of them, because if those play-in games for them in terms of seeding aren't really robust and difficult, they're not going to be as battle-tested as those lower-seeded teams that are playing a 3 out of 5 series that's going to be for life or death, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so and it matters right now because they haven't played in so long.
Correct. Correct, 100%. And you know that from when training camp starts in football to when the first game starts, the first official game, there's a big pace increase, I would imagine.
Yep.
It's the same thing, obviously, in hockey. So that's going to be the biggest thing to see, Tiki, is that the teams that are going to be the most battle-hardened. The one thing I'd say in defense of the Bruins, they are so star-studded. They're big at the right positions. They're skilled at the right positions. They're brilliant in terms of how they operate. Their coaching staff's outstanding, one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So the Bruins, I think, are going to be okay with that. Tampa's got a lot of question marks only because of what happened to them last year when they got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets with a 1 seed going down to an 8 seed. So they've got that mental hurdle they got to get over, Tiki. It's not going to be easy for them.
Hey, Pierre, don't forget that two years ago or 3 seasons ago, UVA was a 1-16 loss. And then the next year, they won the whole thing in college basketball.
How did I know you were going to bring a UVA?
I have to. I mean, you bring it up. You bring up 1-8. I got to bring up 1-16, right? It is how it is. Hey, Pierre, stay safe. Stay sane, obviously. Good luck to your kids, both of them, in all their endeavors. It's always great to hear from you and chat with you. Give us so much good information about what's going on in the National Hockey League. And I can't wait for it to get back up and see you back out there on the glass. Appreciate you, Pierre.
Thanks so much, TK. Really enjoyed visiting with you. Thanks a lot, and stay safe, everybody.
Most certainly. Be well. Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC. Reporter, analyst, everything, who's down there on the glass. He's awesome. Gives great insight. And I didn't realize this guy got to keep an eye out for his kid, who might be drafted this year. Anyways, coming back on the other side of this break, no NBA, no NFL, no Major League Baseball, no NHL either, even though it seems to be coming soon. Can NASCAR, UFC, and maybe even European soccer steal some market share? We'll hit that next. But first, here's an update from Richard Ackerman. Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. I'm Tiki Barber. But just letting you know, starting tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, CBS Sports Network relives classic moments from inside the ring as they bring you 10 straight hours of Showtime Championship Boxing on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Tiki Barber here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. As I just mentioned, interesting thing happened to me last night. I went out to my buddy's house to socially distance and have a cocktail, and I was going to ride my bike, right? Because I just bought a new bike, as everybody has. The biking business has exploded across the country, at least, maybe across the world, even though I think people in other parts of the world probably had bikes more so than we do. We like to jump in cars. So instead of jumping in the cars, I'm going to ride my bike. But then I got into my garage and I have a Harley and I haven't ridden it in 3 years since my youngest daughter, Tegan, was born. I just felt like it'd be unfair for me to go out on my Harley for a couple of hours while Tracy is raising a little screaming baby with another 3 or 2 year old hanging around. So I put it on the shelf and stuck it to a trickle charger and just let it sit there. It's been sitting for 3 years, my Harley. So I'm walking in the garage and I see it. And something just caught my eye about it. It's a quiet night. It was nice last night. It's not raining like it is today. It was about 75, 76 degrees. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to ride my bike. I'm going to ride my Harley. And so I took off the trickle chargers, like, man, I hope this thing starts right up. I'm like, man, this thing is reliable. I love this thing. Maybe the tires are a little bit low because it's been sitting for so long. Put some air in the tires, and I'm ready to go. Looked at the gas tank. It got like 8 miles left in it. I'll be okay. It's only a mile to my buddy's house. So I fired up and driving down the road, and, man, it feels amazing. Right, I have my helmet on, my open helmet, not my closed helmet that I use when I'm on the highway. I have my open helmet on, have these tinted, you know, night sunglasses on. I feel cool. It feels amazing. Go to my buddy's house, have a beer. We're watching old school, like, Miami games. He's a big Miami game. You guys know him if you watched our show regularly. Ron Berkowitz, who's the PR agent to the Stars, crisis management PR agent to the Stars. So we're sitting there, have a beer. I'm like, all right, I'm out, guys. I'm heading back home. Everybody's leaving. Get back on my Harley. I'm like, man, I can't wait for this mile ride home. It's going to feel amazing. I fire it up, starts right up. Like, all right, good, we're good to go. I get about halfway home, and it starts to clunk. Like, dum-dum-dum-dum. Like, uh-oh, what the heck was that? I'm just trying to gas my way through it. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. It just stops on me, like dead stops in the middle of the road, and I'm stuck, and I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong. Did I run out of gas? Maybe I ran out of gas. I only had 8 miles. Maybe the meter was wrong. So I try to push it over to the side of the road. I get it over there, and this thing is heavy. So I push it over to the side of the road, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe I can just push it closer back home because I'm only about a half a mile from home. And I start pushing this thing. That was maybe the hardest workout I've done in my life, pushing that Harley. So I stopped and said, forget it. I'm just going to walk home, go get a gas tank, and come back. So I go home. My wife is like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, my bike ran out of gas. She's like, why the hell did you take the bike? Why didn't you take your bicycle? And so she drives me back, put gas in the thing, and it doesn't start. And so now all of a sudden, I'm stuck without any way to get this bike home, and I got to leave it in somebody's driveway. And so I leave it in someone's driveway. I come down this morning, my buddy who has a truck, he's like, oh, I got a ramp. We can push it back up on my truck, and that's how you can get it back home. We find out that the gas was so old because it's been sitting there for so long that it just ran out. Like the bad gas in the tank will kill your engine. So it killed my engine, and my Harley is now stuck. Fortunately, his buddy had a trailer, like one of those trailers that carries like lawn mowing equipment. So he went and picked up my bike and brought it back. But that's what I get for trying to ride a Harley that I haven't ridden in 3 years and thinking I'm going to be cool going over to my buddy's house for socially distant cocktails. Anyways, so the NHL is about to get back and start hockey. We just talked to Pierre Maguire. Great interview with Pierre. Always enjoy chatting with him. He's so straightforward and enjoyable to talk to, and I'm sure for you guys to listen to as well. MLB is fighting right now. The NBA has plans, but who knows when they're actually going to happen, as players haven't even voted on it. It could happen next week or the week after. It's a while away, it seems like, before there is actually going to be sports that we're used to watching. But there are a couple of sports that are running right now. One of them is NASCAR, and we've probably spent more time on this show the last 3 days talking about NASCAR than we have in the last 3 years talking about NASCAR. And why? Because it's running, because it's interesting, and it's live, and it's real. And in some ways, NASCAR doesn't suffer as much as some of these other sports are going to suffer from not having fans. So if you're watching a a basketball game or a baseball game or even a soccer game, because they are playing that in Europe, Bundesliga, and the NHL, in the Premier League just announced that they're going to come back, at least start to come back around middle of June, June 17th or so. I think that's been a NAGS update. If you're watching one of those games, you really notice like the lack of fans. But if you're watching NASCAR, and I've watched a bunch of these races, last night's race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which was a 500-kilometer, about 310-mile race, was canceled because of weather. But if you're watching that, you don't notice that there's no fans, right? The only thing that you really listen for is not the roar of a crowd. It's not like in an NBA arena or an NFL stadium. The roar of the crowd makes a big difference. You're listening for the roar of the engines, and you hear them. They go around. It's like vroom, vroom. So the impact of not having fans is not nearly as felt in NASCAR as it is in other sports. But to me, as I watch these NASCAR races, first in at Darlington and now at Charlotte, I'm realizing that I'm becoming more of a fan than I already was, because it's available and it's there. Be said about the Bundesliga, the German soccer league. Now, I don't have a team in the German league, so there's no one I'm jumping towards or I'm clamoring to watch. But it's on and it's there, and you get attracted to it because it's a live sport. You don't know the outcome. It's not like you're reminiscing, watching The Last Dance, saying, "Oh yeah, I remember when this happened. Oh yeah, I can revisit what happened." Like there's some joy that comes in that, but there's so much more joy that comes from seeing something unexpected, right? Seeing something that you don't know is going to happen. Seeing Chase Elliott up by 2.5 seconds on the last three laps of the Coca-Cola 600 and then have a wreck happen behind him, and then he ultimately loses the race in like heart-wrenching fashion after being so dominant. He decided to pit and then ultimately loses. Right, like the drama of live sports, we crave. It's why, in record numbers, everyone watched the match too between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Was it good golf? Not really. I mean, Tiger was good, but we expect Tiger to be good, especially on a course that's his home course and he knows like the back of his hand better than the Masters. Phil is Phil. He's lefty. He's like the maestro with the stick in his hand. Of course, they're going to be good. But was watching Tom Brady struggle, was that interesting? No. The only reason he saved it is because he knocked in from the fairway with a pitching wedge and ultimately won a couple $100,000 for charity. This is the only intrigue. But we watched it. You couldn't get enough of it. The trash talk. And for the liveness of it, the fact that we didn't know what was going to happen, the fact that it became interesting at the end. I wouldn't have guessed that. Watching the first nine of that match too, I thought that Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods were running away and laughing all the way to the 19th tee, right? But instead, it kind of got dramatic and came down to Tiger lagging a putt that ultimately won him at the last hole. So I didn't know that was going to happen. So you tuned in. Even though it wasn't exciting, you tuned in. And so as I'm watching NASCAR, as I'm watching, you know, European soccer, I'm wondering to myself, how big of an opportunity is this for these leagues? NASCAR obviously has a huge following in the South. But there are people in the Northeast that have never watched a race. I mean, hell, BT's never watched a race. And they don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't get the thrill. This is such a great chance for these lesser watched, not less popular, because I think they're hugely popular, these sports, but lesser watched sports in the United States to take advantage of a void and put out a product. And as I really think about it, I think this is probably part of their business plan when they decided to come back. They carefully weighed the options and looked at, we can socially distance better, talking about NASCAR right now specifically, than any other sport. There is not that much human interaction when, you know, these massive machines, these speed machines are whipping around the track at 190 miles an hour. There's not human action. I mean, there's metal on metal action. You're not rubbing, you're not racing, right? There's all that kind of action, but there's not human interaction. So we can safely be back up and running much faster and try to capture the market share. And honestly, I think they're doing it. And the more that we see it and the more that we get intrigued by it, the better the opportunity is that it's going to last in your mind. And like, you start to pick a side. Like, we're going to talk to my brother on the other side of the 5 o'clock hour. The only reason I got into the English Premier League is because he told me, as a Man United fan, he is, obviously the Buccaneers Manchester United are both owned by the Glazer family. He said, the only way you're going to become a fan is if you pick somebody, pick a team and follow it. So I picked Liverpool and they've been really good. They actually won the Champions League last year. So now I'm a Liverpool fan. I got engaged. The NASCAR and Bundesliga and some of these other sports are going to come back before the other ones. They have an enormous opportunity to capture market share. And I think it's awesome. Right now, I don't know who my driver's going to be. Maybe it's Denny Hamlin because he's been a buddy to the show. Maybe it's Chase Elliott just because he's been one of the more interesting racers over the last couple of races that NASCAR has put on. Maybe it's Kyle Busch, who's the old head, one of the more accomplished racers on the circuit right now. We had him yesterday. Whoever it is, all you got to do is pick one. You pick one and you get hooked. And that's what NASCAR needs to try to do right now. Force you to pick a favorite. Once you pick a favorite, you'll be hooked. Just like I'm starting to get hooked on these sports that I'm craving. I'm craving interaction. I'm craving live, unpredicted outcomes. Again, I love watching history. I love learning about whatever, Michael Jordan. But at times I kind of got bored by it. What I want to see is live sports. These sports that are participating live right now, they are in an unbelievable advantageous position relative to the other sports. And if they do it right, if they keep promoting it right, they keep getting their guys out there, they're gonna build something sustainable, bigger than they had been before. My twin brother, Rondé Barber, is coming up on the other side of this break. He just asked me, D-Cell, he's like, am I calling you on the phone or am I going to Zoom in so I can be on TV? I gotta break it to him that, sorry, TV's not going to take you via Zoom. If I would have thought about it, I would have been a smart way to do it. Either way, you're going to hear my twin brother. He sounds a little bit different than me. His cadence is a little bit different than me. But we have a lot of fun when we chat. And there's lots of things to chat about in the National Football League. Most specifically, the new quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady. Rondé played golf with him. I wonder if he was as bad when Rondé played with him as he was on the match too. My twin brother, Rondé Barber, coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.